for the word today, Lord. I ask that you would help me to decrease, Lord. Lord, don't let my mind, don't let my thoughts, don't let my tongue get in the way of your word. And Lord, I ask that you would do that for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, the righteousness that exalteth a nation. Do you know that righteousness with God is what makes the nation great?
Amen.
It's not about any of the other stuff we might have. It's not about what you do have, what you don't have. It's not about your wealth or your poverty. It's not about your good looks or your bad looks. It's not about how thick, how tall, how skinny you are.
Amen.
None of that matters to God.
Amen.
He doesn't care about the pigmentation of your skin. He cares about the situation of your soul.
Amen.
Amen. And He desires His people to be holy,
yes,
to be right,
yes,
to be counted blameless before the Most High God. And today we're going to talk about that.
Yes.
There is a righteousness that exalts a nation.
Amen.
And this nation that we're living in has fallen away from the righteousness of God. And it's time for the church to awaken.
Amen.
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 And as I was going through this, this is actually Psalm 14, 34 and 35, which reads simply this, and we'll be somewhere else, but this is what got me started on this in my weekly readings and prayers. Righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. As the psalmist was, or the, sorry, not Psalms, Proverbs. As the one who was writing the Proverbs said, righteousness exalts a nation, but it's sin that's a reproach to any people, and that includes us. If we, the body of Christ, live in a sinful mindset, a sinful lifestyle, then we are reproach. That means we're an embarrassment, a disgrace to God. Amen. Verse 35 says, the king's favor is toward a wise servant. Who wants to be in the favor of the king? Amen? Wise up. Right? That's what he says. You want to be a favor of the king, in favor of the Most High God? Wise up. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. So here's the Bible saying right there, Proverbs 14, 34 and 35, says that the righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the king's favor is towards a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. There was a time in this nation that we were not ashamed.
Amen.
There was. There was a time that this nation was truly great. Amen. The greatness of God was on us, and we were being broadcast throughout the world. We were sending out missionaries. We were printing Bibles. We were showing the goodness and the love and the mercies of God throughout the world. And God used this nation because our forefathers set out to come and worship Jesus Christ in the fullness of their heart and spirit.
Amen.
And later on, that happened back in the 1600s, and later on, over towards the 1800s, I think it was around 1830 somewhere, there was a French aristocrat. I don't know what an aristocrat is, but that's what they called him, all right? And his name is Alex de Tocqueville, and he wrote, America, it has a great genius and is shown throughout the world. And as I quote, Alex wrote, he said, I have sought for the greatness and genius of America, and looking to her tremendous harbors and her rivers, and I found not the greatness there. So I looked towards her fertile fields and her boundless forests, and again the greatness was not there. So I searched her out and her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and that genius and rich and greatness was not there. So I turned to her democratic republic and that constitution, that great constitution, and looking for that true greatness, but it was not in any of these. And then I looked to the churches.
Amen.
Amen. Then I looked to the churches, and I heard the fire from her pulpits and experienced the flames of righteousness leaping at my soul. Now, I said, I understand where the true secret of her greatness and power lies. It's in God's righteous word in her foundation. America is great because she is right before God.
Amen.
But if she ever ceases to stand with God, she will no longer be great.
Right. Amen.
Amen? He was no prophet. He wasn't even a Christian. But he searched, he knew America's greatness back in the day. And he said, there's something different about this nation. There's something different about this people. And he looked around. He looked around at the harbors. He looked around at the rivers. He looked around at the fields. He looked around at the commerce, the way we did business. And he said, it's not in anything like that. So he was still confused and confounded in his mind until he went to the house of God.
Amen.
When he went to the house of God, he saw pastors with a heart for the people, pastors with a desire to preach God's word, pastors that stood without fear. He said, that's where the greatness lies.
Yeah.
It's not in anything outward, but it's in something inward. And as he heard the preaching from the fire, or the fire preaching from pulpits, it struck his heart. And here he said, here in America, that's where her majesty truly is. Is honoring the Lord Jesus Christ from the pulpits to the people, and then the people to the nation, and then from the nation to the world.
Right. Amen.
Bless God.
Well, we've lost something in America.
Yeah.
And I dare say we've lost this. We've lost men in the pulpits.
That's right.
We've lost, well, we have people in the pulpit. We have lost God. Fearing men in the pulpit.
Amen.
We've lost that thus says the Lord, regardless of what man thinks, from the pulpit. We've allowed false doctrines, doctrines of demons. We've allowed untruth or people's opinions being preached from the Word, from this place where the Word of God needs to be proclaimed. And if I do that today, forgive me. All right? But I'm going to strive hard not to do that.
Amen.
I try hard every week not to do that. But as y'all have known me over the years, sometimes my mind goes places. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. He says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is America today, if you haven't noticed. This is what's happening. We, in the mass media, and in Facebook, and in Twitter, and on the news, and on the streets, and on the billboards, we've taken the righteousness of God and said that it is not good.
Amen.
We've taken what the Word of God says, His beautiful commandments and His statutes, and the love and the mercy that He has in this Word, and we have allowed it to be twisted and perverted and changed. We have sown to the wind, and today we're reaping the whirlwind. Today we're seeing these things happen. We need a prophet.
Amen.
We need somebody. Well, actually, we have somebody. We have Jesus Christ and we have His Holy Spirit. We need a people group that is not afraid of the world.
Amen.
Right? That fears God much more than they fear society. We need a people group that would honor the Lord God with the fullness of their heart and with the fullness of their life. That would desire the righteousness, that particular type of righteousness that exalts a nation. And it's time. It's time because it will not start outside. Judgment must begin in the house of God.
Amen.
Judgment. And I can't do this for George. I can't do this for you. I've got to do it for me. George, you've got to do it for yourself. Mark, Asha, all you folks, you've got to do it in your heart through the guiding of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You've got to study the Word of God, believe it enough to adjust your life to what it says. And as the World War II Navy veteran said, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. Right? Let the world shoot at me until they run out of bullets. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God.
Amen.
All right? And I really don't care what the world does to me.
Amen.
All right? It doesn't matter. If they come and they lock us up because we're preaching Jesus Christ, guess what? I'll preach Jesus Christ in the prison. Right? If they come and say, well, we're going to take away your 501c3. Take it. I'll pay taxes. Right? That those things are not going to stop this group of people from hearing and preaching and walking and living in the righteousness of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Jesus talked about some things that would happen in the last days. There's several scenarios that we can pick out of Matthew 24. And as I just run through just a couple of them, I'm not going to read the whole thing for time's sake. Go home and study it for yourself. Jesus implies that there will be a worldwide deception. He implies that there will be, well, he doesn't imply, he tells you these things. Implication is the wrong word. He tells you that there will be a worldwide deception, that there will be famines and signs in the heavens. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be economic instability. There will be persecutions. There will be pestilences, diseases, and things of that sort. There will be legal persecution of the church.
Right.
Amen? And we're seeing those things. And from that, the church, many of the churches will be imprisoned, or the people that believe in Christ will be imprisoned because of that. There will be ethnic conflicts across, and there will be many false prophets rising up saying, Christ is here, Christ is there. He says, don't believe them. And he says this here, and this is where we're going to kick off, Matthew 24 and 12. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And because iniquity shall abound. All right, we're going to study that out. Iniquity shall abound. Well, all of these things are happening. The end time scenarios are going on. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto when? The end. The same shall be saved. All right? Listen to what Jesus said. Now, he's talking about a lot of stuff. The disciples and him had come out of the temple, and they talked about how great it was. And he said, all these things are going to be torn down. And then the disciples asked him, said, when will these things be? Right? What's going to happen? And he goes through that list. And he says, towards the end of that list, in chapter 24, verse 12, he says, because iniquity. The word iniquity in the Greek I cannot pronounce. Ain't you happy? I can barely talk American. No way I can speak Greek. But if you want to try to spell it out or say it for yourself, the word is A-N-O-M-I-A. Say it the way you want to. I can't say the word. Anyhow, that word. And that word means wickedness. It means lawlessness. It means the working of our unrighteousness. So if you look at that in context of what Jesus is saying, because iniquity, all right, wickedness shall abound, because lawlessness shall abound, because the working of unrighteousness shall abound, the love, the agape of many will wax cold. He's saying, listen, you're going to see some things happening in the world scene, but here in the church, you're going to these things are going to be happening, and it's going to be taking your attention off of the most important thing.
Right.
Is the love of God.
Yeah.
All right? And because we're getting sucked into this vortex of humanity, we're getting sucked into this vortex of a world system, what's happening to many people who are, I would say, on the fringe of Christianity, they've confessed Christ, but they've never really gotten anchored into the Lord, prepared for the fight. Right? They're getting killed. They're getting slaughtered by the wayside. They're being run off. They're saying, oh, look, it's so horrible outside. All these things are happening, and I'm losing faith. All right? They're losing love. Their love for God, their love for people is getting cold and crusty. And we're seeing that.
Amen.
We're seeing it across the board. Jesus warned about these things. Paul warned about these things several times throughout the Scripture. And this lawlessness, what it's going to do, it's going to abound. That means it's going to grow more and more, and the love of many will wax cold. But he has a promise there at the end in verse 25. But he that shall endure. All right? Hey, church, are you ready to put up with some stuff?
Yes,
Are you ready to endure in the love of God? Are you ready to put up with whatever the world has to throw at you? And you stand, I am grounded with the gospel of peace, all right? I'm grounded, my shoes are sod, my sandals, my feet are grounded in the peace of God's Word.
Hallelujah.
I have the love of Jesus Christ. I got Him, I have Him. He is in me. He's part of me. And no matter what you do, will you shake me free from that? You've got to have that mindset before the battle starts. You've got to have that mindset as the wickedness comes in. You've got to have that inside intestinal fortitude that no matter what I see in this world, I will not be deceived by this world.
Amen.
All right? I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on because if I hold on until the end, amen? If I hold on not halfway through it, not three quarters of the way through it, not at the very beginning, if I hold on to the end, I'll be saved.
Amen?
So hold on. Hold on. Jesus is on the way. Hold on. Victory is at the door. Hold on because God and God alone has the power to save. God and God alone has the power to change hearts. And if we get so sucked into this world and to these doctrines of demons, we get sucked into the outside events, we'll lose track of what's really important. Amen? And we've got to come back. We've got to come back to the cradle. Amen. We've got to come back to the very start, that cornerstone of our faith. That Jesus is God manifested in flesh. And that the Father so loved the world that He sent Jesus that we could believe in Him and that we could be saved. But you got to put that believing means something. That believing is more than just a something that you say, I believe that the grass is green. That takes no faith. Well, I believe that the grass is brown because it ain't rained in a while. But anyhow, right? I believe, you know, that the birds fly in the sky, the birds sing. Now, that takes no faith. Because
right.
I see it every day. I believe that Jesus is the Lord of lords. And He's the King of kings.
Amen.
That takes faith. I believe that Jesus is sovereign over this whole thing. And He is absolutely in control, regardless of what my mind sees. I believe that. That takes faith.
Amen.
That's the faith that's going to turn America. That's the faith. Well, it may not, excuse me, Lord, as I said that, the Lord said, that may not change America. That's what's going to change the church.
Amen.
That's what's going to change those who are born again and are pressed on Him and stop looking at the garbage and start looking at the gold.
Amen.
Amen. Stop being consumed by this manure that's being spread all over the place.
Right.
We have a God who sits in the Most High.
Blessed.
Amen. And we have access through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can enter into that holy of holy place. Amen.
Amen.
He loves you. He called you. He died for you, for my sin. He hung on a cross for me. For you. For anybody who would accept Him. He is there for them.
Amen.
And His love is never ending.
Blessed.
His mercy Amen. Is new every morning.
Yes,
right? So He says this iniquity that's coming, this ungodliness, this unrighteousness that's here right now, don't lose faith.
Amen.
Don't lose heart. Don't be so sucked up in the iniquity that you lose what God has for you.
Yes, amen.
Again, in Matthew chapter 7, He talks about the folks who say that they know Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They confess Him with their mouth. Let's turn over there because I have it quoted, but I want to make sure I read it properly. Because have y'all known me to quote something incorrectly?
Mm-hmm.
A few times. That's why we go back to the Word of God, right?
Amen.
All right? The Bible says, don't you like that?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, all right? The Bible, Jesus' own words, and He said this in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Okay, we're going to look at that. Let me ask you before we get any farther, what is the will of God? Obedience, huh?
Love one another.
Amen. That's where we're going to go. That's where we're, because what is the commandment? Love. That is the commandment. We'll talk about that here in a minute. And now verse 22 says, and many will say to me in that day, which day?
That day.
What is that day? It's the day of, starts in R and ends in action.
Resurrection.
Amen. And the day of the resurrection, all right? And that day, will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Jesus didn't say, no, you didn't. All right? So yeah, they preached. They were preaching. They were prophesying in God's name. All right? And in thy name, have we cast out demons? So those folks were casting out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. Because he didn't say they didn't do it. All right? And in thy name, done many wonderful works. Jesus didn't say that they didn't do wonderful works. Here's what he does say, though. And then I, Jesus saying, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, you who are working unrighteousness. Depart from me, you who are working, doing the things that are not Christ-like. Depart from me, you that are living in lawlessness. Depart. It doesn't matter that you preached in the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter that God allowed you to cast out a couple demons.
Right.
All right? It doesn't matter that you did a lot of wonderful works. You helped that old lady across the street 27 times a day. Don't matter. Don't matter.
Right.
Right? If you are living and working in iniquity and in lawlessness in your life, regardless of what you confess with your mouth, if your heart isn't right with God, you're still damned. All right? And that hurts. That hurts a lot of people. Because they said, man, when I was 7 years old, I said a prayer. All right? And they put their faith in a prayer. They said, I repeated after Pastor so-and-so. Well, repeating after Pastor so-and-so doesn't save you. Saying a prayer doesn't save you. Surrendering to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's a different story. Amen. When you hear the voice of God calling your name and you say, yes, Lord, here I am. I can't save myself. There's no works that I can do that are good enough. Cleanse the iniquity that's in my heart and give me a new heart. Take away this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh that you can work with.
Amen.
Help me to die to my sin.
Yeah.
Help me to live righteously before you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And guess what he does? Exactly that. Exactly that. And he'll fill you. He'll bless you. He'll anoint you. He'll guide you. He'll chasten you. And he'll love you.
Amen.
You dirty rat, you. He'll love you anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. It tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, in the great commandments, this is the greatest of all the commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. How much is all?
Everything.
With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Who are you supposed to love?
God.
Amen. If you don't love God first and foremost, Then Jesus said, if you don't love me more than you love your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, and yes, even your own life, you can't be my student. You can't be my disciple. Who here wants to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Amen? You better start loving him. You better start loving him. If you don't love him, you can't be his student. And to love him, what's that mean? He's got to be paramount in your life. He's got to be first in your life. When you open your eyes, first thing, you worship the Lord God. Before you eat, you worship the Lord God. Before you get your stinking thinking going, you better be worshiping Jesus Christ. Amen? Before you start ignoring the direction of the Holy Spirit and walking in your will, you better ask God. Before you start listening to the governor to shut down your churches, you better fall on your face and beg Jesus Christ to show you some truth. Amen? Too many pastors, and I'm not cursing anybody, too many men who are trusting the Lord as their Savior feared man and a disease more than they feared and loved God.
That's right.
All right? That's a hard saying. But there's a truth to that.
Amen.
when they shut the doors and they told the people of God, I will not feed you unless you go to a fast food Zoom.
Right.
I won't feed you unless you turn on the wickedness of the internet. I won't feed you unless you do what the government says.
Right.
Jesus told Peter, if you love me, Pete, feed my sheep.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Hey, Peter, you say you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then, Peter, you better be teaching my word to my people, not just when it's convenient, but when it's inconvenient also.
Amen.
He didn't say, Peter, when the virus comes, cower in the closet. He said, no, proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. When Darius sent out the decree, right? When you hear, nobody can worship anybody but me.
Yeah.
You know what Daniel did? 3 times a day, he opened up his window. And he did just like he did before the decree went out. He worshiped the Lord on his face, on his knees before Lord God. And he says, if you don't like it, world, look at me. And he said, well, you'll be thrown in the lion's den. Daniel said, okay, that's all right. That's all right, you know. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I don't care. You want to feed me to the lion? Feed me to the lion. Oh, but because of his faith, what did God do? He shut him up.
Yeah.
I tell you what. We might be, in fact, Jesus told us that we're going to be persecuted for his righteousness' sake. You know what? That's okay. God will shut them up when they need to be shut up.
Amen.
Amen. He'll shut those mouths of those lions. And even though, and we got to be like the three Hebrew boys, even Ian, Nebuchadnezzar, I have no need to answer you in this matter. I will not worship you.
Amen.
I'm not doing it. Well, we're going to heat up the furnace 3 times hotter. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Right.
I don't care. So what? You're going to burn me alive. That's all right by me.
Amen.
God is able to deliver me, but if he doesn't, I'm still not following you.
That's right.
We need pastors like that. We need people like that behind the pulpit.
Amen.
We need people like that in the congregation.
Yes.
We need people like that that are truly filled with the Holy Spirit of God and loving God more than this life, more than this world, so much that they are willing to say, I will worship God in spirit and truth no matter what the world has to say about it.
And
it's time for the church to awaken.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of love, Jesus said in John chapter 13 and 34 and 35, a new commandment. Mm-hmm. Really, this ain't a new commandment, but Jesus said it's a new commandment. All right, so this is a new commandment because it's a new covenant. Mm-hmm. As Jesus is about ready to go to the cross. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Let me ask you, church, are you loving the church?
Amen.
Do you love the body of Christ?
Amen.
We're supposed to love each other, right?
That's right.
Now, don't get me wrong, we're supposed to love the... Well, actually, what's the Bible say about loving the world? Anyone know?
Yeah.
Amen. We're in it, not of it, right? He says, don't love the world. Now, I'm not saying don't love the souls that are in the world because Jesus died for them. He loves them. Don't love this world system.
Amen.
Don't love this world system. You're supposed to love Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And how do I show the love of Jesus Christ is the way I love yous guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yous guys. All you guys. All you people. Anybody born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are first on my list in this world. Right now, Jesus is always first in my heart, first in my mind. I love the Lord God more than anything else, but then love the body of believers.
Yeah.
All right, so when the body of believers, somebody is going through some persecution, which, church, if you don't know it, persecution is coming to America.
Amen.
Like a wrecking ball, all right? It's coming, it's on the way. The cranes aren't ready to release. The ball is on the way. It's about ready to hit. And when it hits, you know who's going to need some loving, some help? Us. Now, we're not going to be able to buy, sell, or trade.
Amen.
All right? We're not going to be able to do those things. We're going to stand up and say, you know, Lord, I trust you more than I trust the vaccine.
Amen.
Right? So I'm not taking the vaccine. You know what that's going to make you? Unclean to the world.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Right now, if you don't believe it, right now, right this very minute, if you don't wear a mask when you go to the store, you're considered unclean.
Right.
You're a hater because you don't wear a mask.
Right.
That's just a foretelling of the things that will be coming.
Amen.
All right? And if they ridicule you and chastise you and run you out, which they do right now pretty vehemently, because you don't have a mask, think of how much more they're going to do it when you don't have the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how will they know I don't have a vaccine? Well, actually, your cell phone will tell them. Do you know that? Do you know that the last Apple update gave you the COVID-19 app on your phone? And no matter what you do, you can't erase it? Just a little tidbit. This is what I want to talk about running down the rabbit trail. That's a rabbit trail. Check it out for yourself. We're not supposed to be focused on that. We're supposed to be focused on Jesus. So forgive me for going there. All right, that's just a little bit of public information that you needed to know. Anyhow, Jesus said, there's a new commandment that I love. Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples. How's the world going to know that we're the disciples of Jesus?
By our love.
By our love. Now, what does love mean? What's it mean? It's putting others first, all right? So if you come to me cold, hungry, destitute, and you say, Lord, Curtis, I'm part of the body of Christ, and I'm cold, hungry, I'm destitute, and I think, oh, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to get on my face before the Lord right now. I'm going to pray for you. Wait a second. You don't do anything to help those people? Your relationship, your religion is worthless.
Right?
See, that's a righteousness that will lift up a nation, is when the people of God are humbled before the throne
Amen.
Of God. And when we see a need, we move on that need.
Yes.
There's going to come a time that the church, the people of God, are going to be exiled.
Mm-hmm.
The world is going to hate you vehemently, more than they hate you already. Because you're going to be the one that withstands the evil of the day.
Amen.
You're going to be the one that says, this far, no further. And when you say that, the world, the government, is going to hate you. Your friend, your neighbor, your grocery store clerk is going to hate you. And it's okay.
Amen.
It's okay. You know? If they hated the Lord Jesus Christ, it's okay. They persecuted him, they'll persecute you. It's okay. Because guess what? I got a better place. You know? I got a better hope. I got a God sitting on the throne, right? I have a Jesus who is my advocate. And I am in him. Woo! Praise God. I am in him. And if they so hated him that they crucified him, expect a cross. Expect to have your life put in danger.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Amen.
Because I got a reward. Amen. It's okay. Jesus said, I've prepared a place for you, and if I've prepared a place, I'm going to come again. I'm coming, and Jesus is coming again. And when we see these things happening, be happy. Amen? Be happy. Because we know that he's at the door.
Amen.
We know that it's real close. And, you know, it might be 100 years from now. I'm not trying to put a date on this. But we could be within 7 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We really could be. We could be in that time period where we're watching the rise of the little horn out of Daniel. We could be seeing him come up.
Mm-hmm.
We you know what, church? We could actually see the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem in our lifetime. Think about how quick they throw up a Walmart. Right? Really, I mean, seriously. You know how fast they can put Walmart up? Less than 30 days. Stock shelves. From the foundation straight up. Walmart's big. Just Steve Satan, sorry. That's wrong of me. I apologize.
Yeah.
Now, this iniquity that we're turning about, it's simply not just sin, but it's those who knew God and they willfully turned away.
Amen.
All right? They said that they knew the Lord. They prophesied. All right? They cast out demons. They did many marvelous works. So they knew about Jesus. Right? They knew him. And Jesus said, you workers of iniquity, you knew me, but I never knew you because you never accepted me. Now, you did a lot of cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. doing cool stuff doesn't make you saved.
Mm-hmm.
Doing cool stuff doesn't make you right. Doing cool stuff ain't none of the cool stuff.
Amen.
All right? And there's a lot of folks that are in hell selling cool stuff. They didn't make it because they weren't right with Jesus Christ. They were workers of iniquity. This iniquity is just, it's for a group of people. It's for a nation that have lost their love, that have turned away from the righteousness of God. And God says during the end times, He's going to send a strong delusion. He's going to start fooling people. People in the church that say that they know God, but they really have no relationship with God. God says, I'm sending something new. And He's done it in the Old Testament, right? Remember the people came out of Egypt? Man, I'm tired, man. I don't like I don't want water from the rock. I want something else. You start whining, complaining, not loving, right? And God said, all right, you want some meat? I'll give you some meat, you dirty dog. Right? You want this? You're going to have it. You're going to have it so much that it comes out of your nose. You're going to vomit. You're going to have so much meat. So God sent quail and exactly that. The people got, the ones who wanted it went and just started eating quail right off the ground. I don't know, have you ever bit the head off a chicken? Don't do it. But that's what it says that they were doing. They were picking up these quail and they were just eating them raw. God killed a lot of them. You want it, you can have it. It says in 2 Thessalonians, I didn't write down the chapter, my apologies, but it's verses 9 through 11. Many will believe the lie is what I have subtitled. Whose coming is after the working of Satan and all power and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11 says, and for this cause God sent to them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, or the lie. It's a particular lie. And they, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What did they have? Pleasure in doing wrong. They had pleasure in iniquity. Jesus, Paul saying, listen, God gave them a delusion to think that the things that they were doing wrong was actually right. You want meat? You want quail? I'll give it to you till it comes out your nose. You want unrighteousness, people of America? You want to turn away from God? You want to throw Him out of your courthouse, out of your schoolhouse, out of your church house? You want to throw Him out of those things? Well, pray. Hey, is this all right? Hands off. Dude, you want it? You got it, baby. All right? But when it comes, I'm going to send you this strong delusion, and you're going to believe the lie. Governments. Hi, I'm the government. I'm here to help. You're going to believe the lie. You're going to believe the lie. Oh, when this vaccine comes, it's going to cure the world. You're going to believe the lie. You're going to be sucked right down the toilet hole. You're going to go right down the way. You're going to be wound up in the septic tank with all the other garbage of this world.
That's right.
Be ye not deceived. That's what He says at the beginning of Matthew 24. Don't be deceived. How do you not be deceived? You better know your Bible.
Amen.
You better know the truth of God's love. You better surrender your heart to His will.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
Because of and get ready. And get ready for the fight.
Yeah.
Get ready for the fight. And I don't mean like load your guns or nothing like that. But what I do mean is get on your face before God and enter into that throne room of prayer.
Amen.
Enter into that place of peace. Enter into that place of rest. Surrender your will to His will that He might work through you mightily in these last days. See, we got it. Folks, we need to wake up. Romans in a couple of places. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Amen? How are you going to learn about God? From faith to faith. You're born again, you got faith, then you need to live in that faith every day.
Amen.
right? You need to, my faith grows as I live through tribulations. I see the holiness, the righteousness of God. Even though my world is turning to garbage, I know that God cares for me. I have faith in Him. So my faith is tested, it's tried, and it grows because I see how faithful He is. Even when I'm not, He still is. And so I hold on to the hem of His garment. Now, it works from faith to faith. For the righteousness, the goodness, the will, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God is opened up, is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by fear. Not true. That ain't Bible, right? The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Right? And I believe God regardless of what the news headlines say.
Amen.
Amen. I believe God. All right? The just are supposed to live by that. And it says in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against how much ungodliness?
All
ungodliness. And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. Now catch this is important. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Holding on to the truth and living unrighteously. Is that not the Church of America today?
Yes, amen.
Is that not the mega churches that are around here? They say they know God. They're continually studying God, but they don't understand God at all.
No.
Right? Because they're listening to Professor So-and-so. Now, don't get me wrong. Smart people are great. If it wasn't for smart people, we would have no silent letters, right?
Yep.
So smart people put silent letters out there to confuse everybody else, right? So praise God for smart people. Right? But I would rather be like Peter and John, when they stood before the smart people of their day. And they said, I can tell that you're unlearned men. Yep, sure am. But you have been with the Lord Jesus. They didn't say the Lord, but you have been with Jesus. I can say the Lord, because He is the Lord.
Amen.
All right, and I'd rather have that man any day. I'd rather have that person on my side any day than all the PhDs, FBIs, QRXs, whatever, palms, diplomas. I'd rather have one person sold out for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And as he says, God is revealed against all ungodliness, those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And this is what iniquity really is in verse 21. Because they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Romans 1, chapter verse 21 says, because they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Nor were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts became darkened. What happened? They knew God, and they didn't glorify Him as God. And then God gives them over to all kinds. There's a list of things that He goes through. We're not going to go through that list because I don't want to pick on scabs. That just makes you bleed more. Amen? The core of the problem, what was really happening, was that a people group, they knew God, but they didn't glorify Him as God.
Amen.
And then God said, all right, you know me, you don't want me, I'll let you go your way. Mm-hmm. And He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
And then He goes through the list. I gave them over to a reprobate mind that they could live in sin comfortably. Right? That's really and truly what he did.
Amen.
And that's really and truly what America is doing.
Yes.
Jesus also said that a house that's divided cannot stand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're supposed to be united, one nation, under God. Mm-hmm. We missed the mark. Mm-hmm. We missed the mark. And I'll be honest with you, I'll be honest as I can, I don't know if we can get it back. We've allowed it to go so far. You know, the inertia of evilness is just, we are, the America that was once good, that was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ, has moved so far away from the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
And they made a God of their own imagination, in their image, instead of being created in His image. And God, I really and truly, that the Lord has said this to America, I've given you over to a reprobate mind. From your president, all the way down to your schoolhouse workers. Alright? And unfortunately, a lot of the pulpits that should be preaching the righteousness of God have turned to doctrines of demons. They're preaching, as Paul would say, another gospel, which is there is no other gospel. A gospel of convenience. A gospel that says, that's all right. God loves you.
Yeah.
Live the way you want to live. Right? There's so many preachers out there that says, God will never judge you. You said the prayer, you slid into home. You said the prayer, you confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say that you were converted, but you said the prayer. Alright? Although there's no evidence in your life of righteousness or God working, there's no repentance in your life, but you said the prayer so you can go ahead, rape, murder, pillage all you want to. God will never leave you or forsake you. Go ahead. Murder your babies in the womb. Go ahead. Allow them to change your DNA through vaccinations. Go ahead. It's all right. It's okay. It's God's love. He'll never cast you out. Oh, God doesn't judge His own people. Have you heard that? I've heard it through a lot of radio preachers. A lot of them. Amen? I've heard it through a lot of preachers that I know and love. But when I study the Word of God, it tells me a different story.
Amen.
I'm going to be judged by every word that came out of my mouth. Amen? And if it was not for the blood of Jesus Christ, I would be found guilty on every single point. You know why? Because I am. I am guilty of all things. But God.
Amen.
Two favorite words in the whole Bible.
But we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on the Lord.
Amen. Our eyes are on the Lord. Absolutely.
Hallelujah. And His ear is listening for our prayer.
And I love you, sweetheart. It tells us in verse 28, and even as they did not retain, like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to that reprobate mind to do the things which were not convenient. So this is that iniquity, this lawlessness, this falling away from love that Jesus talks about in Matthew. He said, because iniquity, lawlessness will abound, the love of many is going to wax cold. That's why Jesus asked, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Right? Because what shows that you are a Christian? It's by your love one for another. So, do you? Don't answer. That's a rhetorical question. Because if I ask, everybody will say, yeah, I love you, Jesus. Amen. But by the time you get to your car, you're going to forget half of the sermon. Right? Something happens. There's a Casting Crown song that says, between the altar and the door.
Yeah.
All right? I had the altar, man. I was throwing myself down. I was confessing my sin. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And I got up. I dusted myself off. I picked up my sin. I walked out the door. Right? You picked it up and you left with it. You still got it. Although you could have been set free from it.
Amen.
But I want my chains. Right. I don't know. I don't know what to do with a sermon like this. I don't know what to do with it. All I can do is lay it out there. If you want it, it's available.
Amen.
If you want salvation, it's available for you.
Amen.
If you want true repentance, it's available for you. But I cannot make you get up and take it. If you have heard the Spirit of God in your life today, if you've heard His voice and you know that He said something to you, you want me to pray for you? Too bad. Pray for yourself.
Yeah.
Amen? All right. Not that I won't pray. I love to pray for you. But listen, you think I got an end that you don't have?
Yeah.
I don't.
Amen.
If you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you've got the same access to the throne of God as I got.
Amen.
I am not a Nicodemus. Nicolaitan. I'm not him, right? I don't have a way in that you don't have.
Right?
So if you're living in sin right now, you're living in iniquity right now, stop. Just stop. You turn to Christ, let go of the thing that so easily ensnares you, and lean into him. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know that he's calling you, you know that he's asking you to surrender to him, start. Surrender.
Amen.
Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Right? And if you need help in that, you don't know how to do it, you don't have any confidence in that, if you're a guy, come and talk to me. Alright? And I'll lead you. If you're a woman, talk to Asha. Because I know she knows the way. Right? And she's not going to back down from the scripture from you. She's going to tell you the truth. There's several women in here that can do that with you. But Asha's right here in front. Right? She's, if I picked on her, right, start with. Okay? You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. But once you accept that, once you confess it, you need to be discipled.
Amen.
You need a mentor.
Yes.
You need somebody to come along beside you. Just like that newborn baby of Steve's, it ain't changing its own diaper. Mm-hmm. You know that? All it can do is cry, eat, and use the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's all it can do. When you first trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what you can do? Cry, eat, and use the bathroom.
Amen.
Right? You need somebody who can come along beside you and help clean up the mess.
Yes.
That's what the church is for.
Amen.
Right? That's what we're here for. To love you right where you're at. Right in the middle of your mess, we want to pour out God's grace on you. And if you want some of that, door's open. If you don't want none of that, door's still open. But I can't make you do it. So we don't really do former altar calls. I don't see it as a pattern in Scripture. What I do know is exactly what the Bible says. If you believe in your heart, do you believe what you've heard today? Yeah. All right, this is as close as we're going to get. Everybody bow your head because I don't want to embarrass nobody. No, stop. Everybody lift your head. I don't care if you're embarrassed. All right, I don't care if you're embarrassed. If you want to trust Jesus Christ today, you can't trust him. Lift your hand. Right? All right, nobody does? All right, praise God. If you are a born-again believer, you know that you need to repent, lift your hand. Wow. A lot of you guys are better than me. Amen. I can lift both my hands. All right? All right. You can ask it, it'll be done. Right? You ask in faith, not doubting, and it'll be done for you. You ask for wisdom, it'll be given to you abundantly. You ask for forgiveness, it'll be given to you abundantly. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and separate it as far as the east is from the west. The only thing between you and righteousness is air and opportunity. So don't let the air stop you. Amen? Who here can fight against a good breeze? Right? Don't let the air stop you. You get right with God. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your righteousness, your goodness. Lord, I thank you for the victory, Father, the victory we have in you. Lord, the things that I cannot do in and of myself, you have done for me. Father, and the things that you have cleansed me from, Lord, the things that you've set me free from, the shackles of sin that you have cast from me, I proclaim freedom. Because you who have set free are free indeed. And so, God, I rest in your abundant mercies. Lord, I pray for the congregation that's out here. Lord, I ask that your face would shine on them all week. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them with every spiritual blessing.
Yes.
I pray, Father, that you would go before them and put that edge of protection around them as they proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord to a lost and dying world. Lord, let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, let us not be hiding in the corners. Let us come out loud and proud that you are the God of gods, that you're the King of kings,
that you are Alpha and Omega, that you're the Savior of the world, and we trust in you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.